come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study through the Gospel of John. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
If you're new, I'm Joy Welsh. No, I'm not Joy Welsh. I'm not Joy Welsh. I am her daughter. I am Shannon's sister. I am Jeff's wife. Pastor Jeff Wilson's wife. Hi. So my husband and I head up the Refuge Married Life Ministry. And so some of you, if you're on that mailing list, got an email that I sent out during the summer with what I call my summer epiphany, where I just had a month in the summer where I was just in a funk. And my mind was not right. And I can't explain it. I knew they were lies from the enemy. I knew it wasn't what was really happening. And I'm thinking, Jeff is thinking things that he's not thinking. And so he's like, what's going on? And so we're both like, just weird. And so I came to, and it didn't hit me until I came to church. And we knew it was attack. Like at one point, I'm like, this has got to be attack, right? And at one Sunday morning, I was sitting here just worshiping and all of a sudden just like overwhelmed with this sense of peace and joy. And it hit me. It was like, I've been out of fellowship for most of the summer because, you know, you're traveling, you're doing vacation. Women's study is out of session. My mom's in prayer group is out of session. Our connect group was out of session. And we weren't here for a couple Sundays. So I'm like, ah. So when my dad this Sunday, talked about and gave out that little card with Hebrews 10, I wrote it down because I knew I'd forget. 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together, for the day is drawing near. And there's so much truth. There is so much just miraculous healing and joy that comes from brethren meeting together in unity, right? Behold how good and how pleasant it is. So I know that we've all come in here today with something. Maybe you had a funky summer. Maybe it was rough. It was lonely. It was frustrating. It was exhausting. It was discouraging. But you've come to the right place, and you're obeying what the Lord said to do is in gathering together. So this is where we lift one another up through God's word and gather together. I was asked to teach John 14. So if you haven't yet, open your Bibles to John 14. The title of the message is Promises, Promises. And I know you want to start singing Promises, Promises, right? All you 80s people. But don't, because I don't know the rest of the words. It's probably a terrible song because it's from the 80s. It's probably bad. But before we dive into chapter 13, we want to look back at chapter 13 because we've been off for the summer, because we really need to see what happened before to really love what happens now. The disciples are up in the upper room. They've just finished the Passover feast, which we know is the Last Supper. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, and then he drops three bombs on them. One of you is going to betray me, Peter's going to deny me, and I'm leaving and you can't come. So it's like, boom, boom, boom. And if I could just insert like a slow motion movie pan around the upper room of the disciples' faces after he's like, and I'm leaving and where I'm going, you can't come with me. Just that look of what is going on? Sorrow, fear, questions. And you might be here tonight feeling like I could insert myself right there with the disciples and just feel like, God, what is going on? What are you doing? So he not only tells them those three things, but then he comes across as difficult and how as powerful as those three troubling words were, he comes to them in chapter 14 with three even more powerful promises of comfort. He comes to them with the promise of a forever home, the promise of a forever father, and the promise of a forever helper. So if you are here tonight, if you have lost someone that you love, if somebody is battling an illness, if someone you love has walked away from the Lord, I have dear friends who are going through all three of those things right now at the same time. So I know we're dealing with it. Someone has betrayed you. You feel all alone, whether you're single or not, because you can have a house full of kids and a spouse and still feel alone. Remember in John chapter 6 when Jesus asked the disciples, do you want to leave me too? And what does Peter say? It's like my favorite little verse in the whole Bible is when he says, where else will we go? And it always makes me cry, and I'm going to try to get through it. If I squint my eyes, I can usually get through it. He says, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. So they, like, Jesus is everything to them, and now he's like, I'm leaving and you can't come. So it's like, oh, what is going on? So it gives them those three promises. So the first promise we're going to look at is the promise of a forever home. So look at verse 1 of chapter 14. Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So we love our homes, right? There's an entire channel, my favorite channel in the universe, HGTV, that is dedicated to making your homes look amazing. And I just like binge watch Fixer Upper. They're my favorite people. They're my best friends. They don't know. But Chip and Joanna Gaines, they're my people. So your home is where you try to make it comfortable and a place of rest, right? You want, your home is where you rest, where people know you best. Oh, I'm going to tell Chip and Joanna to make that a plaque, and that's going to become part of the Magnolia Home line. You watch. Home is where you rest, where people know you best. Home is where it's safe. And I know that not everyone in this room came from a home that was like that, that came from a home that you wanted to go home to, a place that was safe and that was a place of rest. You grew up watching The Waltons or The Cosby Show and wished, I wish my house was like that. But imagine your ideal home and just blow it up like 1,000 times better, because we can't even imagine what our eternal home will be like. And I challenge you as women, I know it's not always true, but a lot of the times, women control the temperature of the home. The men can do it as well, but a woman, a lot of times, the husband can walk in the door and you're on him like that. You're like, oh, nice for you to come home, or, you know, whatever it is. You're not his cheerleader, or you're not your kid's cheerleader. You're not, if you are a caregiver for a parent or something living in your home, make your home a place where people enjoy being, a safe place. Whenever we would go on a mission trip, went to Romania and Africa and Thailand, or even if you go on vacation, you just want to come home. What does Dorothy say when she clicks her ruby heels three times? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. So Jesus' disciples had homes before they met him, right? And what did they do? They gave up all to follow him. And he warned them of the cost of discipleship in Luke chapter 9 when someone said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And that was okay with them. I'll follow you wherever you go, Jesus. But now you're leaving. What's going on? So Jesus knows this troubles them. So he promises them a home. He promises them a place. And we know this place is heaven, our eternal home. In Revelation chapter 21, John runs out of words to even explain this place. But we know what won't be there. We know there won't be crying and pain and death and sorrow and night. And makes me think of that song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place. Tell me you know it. Abby has to know it. What? Was this only a Calvary Kids Praise song? Nobody in the morning knew it either. So I'll stop reaching into my past and making you come along with me. Debbie knows it. Debbie Oakes and I will sing it later on our own, and you know it too. But it always makes me, because there's a line that's like, I want to go there, so it always makes me think, like, I want to go there. So anyway, there is also a book that's not a song about heaven by Randy Alcorn, and I would highly suggest you either pick it up to read it yourself. It's like this fat. So Jeff and I are doing audiobook, so I highly suggest that as well if you can't get through it. But it's so great. It's called Heaven by Randy Alcorn, and he just pulls in everything that is already in the Bible that talks about heaven, because a lot of times we don't really have a picture of heaven. It's like we're going to sit on a cloud and do nothing all day with our friends, and the streets are gold, we know that, and this and that. But it's so cool to see, like, oh, it says that's going to be there. So it makes you more excited to go. It makes you more excited to want to bring people with you as well. So there's this theme of home, in that Jesus made his home among us. He makes his home in us, and we have an eternal home with him. So when our hearts are troubled, we remember Jesus promised to the disciples and to us that we have a place. We have a forever home prepared for us. And I love Chuck Swindoll says, while preparing a place for us, Christ is preparing us for that place. So there's a reason we're still here, because he's still preparing us. He's preparing us for that place. When the time is right, he'll take us home. Jesus lets them know how to get there in verse 4. He says, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, no, we don't. Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus tells him, you already know the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you've spent any time with me in a car, you know that I am the absolute worst in the whole world with directions. Like, north is south, east is west. I have been in Long Beach when I was supposed to be in Tustin. I've been in Irvine when I was supposed to be in, I don't even know where. I guess wrong every time. I'm like, that seems like it's probably west. So I'm going to take west. And it's just like, it's a joke. It's like a running joke. So I went to take my sister Star to Lakewood to pick up her car that was being fixed. And I was like, I don't know how to get back to the freeway. And it was like right off Cherry. Is Cherry in Lakewood? Am I like wrong city, right? See, I'm telling you, this is true. This is true. Anyway, it was a main street in Lakewood. And I'm like, I don't know how to get back to the freeway. And she's like, just follow me. Oh, what a relief, right? She could have been like, well, just turn left at that street and you're going to want to be in the right-hand lane. Don't turn right first, because then you'll be going the wrong direction. Keep going till you see the sign for that. She could have done that, but she said, just follow me. What a relief. All I had to do was look at the little Toyota Tercel in front of me the whole time and not worry about anything else. And that's it. Jesus says, I'm your way. Follow me. I'm the way to your forever home. And he's not only a way to the Father, but he is the only way to the Father. I found this great interview with Keith Green. Please raise your hand if you know who that is. Okay. I'm like, am I just really trying to reach today? But Keith Green, like, singer-songwriter from the late 70s, early 80s, total hippie. Like, amazing songs, anointed songs. Total hippie, searching all these world religions for truth, for the way. And he said, as he's searching all these world religions, all of them recognize Jesus as a way to heaven. And so when he searched out Christianity and the Bible, he realized that Jesus said he was the way. So he figured he was probably the safest way to go, because they were all saying he was a way. If he says, I'm the only way, he figured, I just love that he intellectually, like, deducted down to, like, well, that makes total sense. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the only way. Keep your eyes on him. Follow him home. So our first promise that Jesus gives in troubled times is that we have a forever home in heaven. Our second promise is the promise of a forever Father. You all know It's a Wonderful Life, right? You all watch it at least once or twice during Christmas time. So when little George Bailey is working for the druggist in the pharmacy, remember, the pharmacist is like just overcome with sorrow because he gets a telegram that his son died in the war. And I feel like I'm like chatting like to my best friends, telling you all about a movie. But so he's overcome with sorrow, and little George Bailey realizes, like, he's put poison in these pills. I have to tell him. I can't deliver these to these lady who needs them. So he comes back. He's like, you put poison, and the druggist is all mad and kind of, like, slaps him around a little bit, which you couldn't do in a movie now. That would be frowned upon. But so he's like, I don't know what to do. And so he sees a sign on the wall. Do you remember what it says? It says, ask Dad. Oh, yes. It says, ask Dad. He knows. And it was like an ad for tobacco. But it was like, that's it. He knows. Because what are fathers known for? They're known for wisdom. Like, I'm going to ask Dad. He's going to know what I should do here. Their protection, stability, comfort. They provide for us physically. Jeff and I took Abby to an Angel game on a little date. And he was talking to her just about how important their father-daughter relationship is and how important it's going to be for the rest of their lives. And he told her, like, I'm the most important to mommy, but Papa Bill is still a really big deal, which is true. Like, my dad is a really big deal to me. Fathers are a big deal. And again, you may not have had a father in your home who was these things. And so it's hard for you to maybe even picture or grasp, like, having a forever father. It's like, what does that mean? What does he look like? Well, all we have to do is look at Jesus, because he says that he is the image of the Father. In John 5:19, it says, whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. So when we want to know what God the Father would do, we look at what God the Son, Jesus, did. And I love, my favorite story in the Bible that shows the Father's heart is in Luke 15, the prodigal son. And you guys know it, the son decides to take his inheritance, squanders it all, hits rock bottom, decides he's going to at least like crawl back home and get a servant's job in his dad's house. So he goes walking up towards his dad's house on the road, and the dad comes running to him and just hits him and is like, you're the worst, I'm withdrawing all love from you, I'm never talking to you again. No! He runs to him and he hugs him, he hangs on him, he kisses him, because he rejoices that his son has come back home, because he loves him. So that is your heavenly Father. Whatever earthly example you had, I want you to look at Jesus and know that that is the heart of your heavenly Father. We look at Jesus because he says in verse 7 of John chapter 14, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. Philip said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. My mom called me on my way home after doing this morning's women's group. And she's like, how'd it go? And I was like, it was good. And she said, I was reading John 14 this morning while your dad was out walking. And she said she got to chapter 9. And she said, she read, you know, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know me, Philip? And she thought, you know, Philip had been with him about 3 years. And she said she heard the Spirit speaking to her so clearly, you've been with me 40 plus years and still you don't know me. And it was that challenge of like, oh my goodness, how long have we walked with the Lord? And sometimes the Lord's like, you don't know that this is my heart for you? Like, why would you think I would do this for this reason or that for that reason? Do you not know me? And so my dad got back from his walk and she shared that with him. And he was just like, that's our message for Thailand. And they're doing a Thailand conference. They leave on Thursday. That's their message. And so it's just so awesome. So I'm like, well, I'll have to share that little tidbit. So just a challenge to us to seek the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. So Jesus asked the disciples to believe this mysterious hard saying that Jesus and the Father are one. And he says, at least believe this because of the works you've seen me do. Yes, he performs miracles of healing so our kids can be healthy and go to school. He provides our rent and our mortgage so we have a place to live. But why? So we believe. And it almost feels a little uncomfortable, like, well, I don't want to believe in Jesus just because he does miracles. Why not? It's proof that he is who he said he is. I mean, that's why I go back to Cozy Massage, because I get a $25 60-minute massage, and they do what they say they're going to do. You get a great, cheap, fully clothed massage every time you go. Their work is proof. It's a pretty poor analogy, but their work is proof that they are who they say they are. They'll do what they say they do, give you a cheap massage. And so Jesus' works, his miracles, are proof that he is who he says he is. And so we can believe in him because of his works, right? Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So he who believes in me, that's me, that's you, that's us. Those are those of us who have the Spirit living in us because we have received Jesus as our Savior. And then when he says they will do greater works than Jesus, your first thought is, you're going to do better works than Jesus? What? But listen, Warren Wiersbe says this, These miracles are not greater in quality, for slaves are not greater than their master, but rather in scope and quantity, because Jesus says he's going to the Father, so his physical time on earth showing these great works would be done. Peter preached one sermon, and 3,000 sinners were converted in one day. The fact that ordinary people performed these signs made them even more powerful and brought great glory to God. So whenever we would leave for a mission trip, as a family, or even when we would leave the house for school, my mom would always say, go do great things for God. It's always we are desiring to do greater works, to glorify his name. And you're thinking like, I'm going to do works like he raised somebody from the dead, right? You remember that, right? But are you inviting people to church? Are you sharing the things that the Lord is doing in your life? You are changing hearts by sharing Christ. You are raising people from the dead. You are bringing the dead to life by sharing Christ with them. You are doing those greater works. So how do we get to these greater works? I've got three things in these next few verses. Three things. You ask, you obey, and you pray. You ask, you obey, and you pray. In verse 13, Jesus says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we always need to be careful with this verse that it's not taken out of context, right? We're talking about doing greater works to glorify the Lord. So we have to remember that when we ask something in Jesus' name means that we ask things that Jesus would ask to glorify our Father in heaven. So the first thing is we ask. The second thing is we obey in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. When we're following the commandments of the Lord, we're in fellowship with him. Our hearts are in tune with what Jesus would ask the Father. So it goes hand in hand. And the third is to pray for help. And this brings us to our third promise. So our first promise is comfort of a forever home. The second is promise for comfort is in our forever Father. And the third is that we have a forever helper. My mother-in-law, Karen, lives 9 doors down from us in the house that my husband grew up in. And she is awesome. She takes our kids whenever we need it, and she loves to do it. She is single. She raised Jeff all on her own. Jeff is her only child, and she's a retired kindergarten teacher of 35 years. She retired the year Jeff and I met, and that same year she retired, her mother is now 100 years old. Her mother moved in with her because she needed care. Her full-time job now is providing care for her mom, either providing herself or scheduling and paying for caregivers to come over. She has to make decisions as to whether her mom should have procedures to remove skin care or whether her mom would make it through that surgery. She has to ask the right questions to the doctors and take her every other week to Whittier to have ingrown eyelashes pulled because she has little ingrown eyelashes. She has to decide what she can eat that won't upset her stomach. She has to decide when she needs to take a nap, when she needs to wake up so that she can eat and take her medications. But I will tell you this, she will not stand in front of you and list all these things that she's doing because she just does it. She does it because her mom cared for her and now she's caring for her mom. She loves her mom. But could you imagine if somebody came up to my mother-in-law and said, hey, I'm going to send a helper 24/7, going to do whatever you need. We're going to tell you what you should do in this situation. We're going to help you with everything. I remember as a brand new mom with my first little baby, Abby, days old, and not knowing that I wasn't producing enough mommy milk, I'm bouncing her on those big exercise balls like, come on, go to sleep. And I am just like, my mind is reeling. Like, what if she doesn't want to wean? When am I going to potty train her? What if she doesn't like rice cereal? And the Lord is like, hey, you have the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this on your own. You have help. My word says, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I'm going to give it to you. And I was like, oh, that's right. I'm not doing it by myself. So the Holy Spirit broke through that and reminded me, Jesus sent the helper to help us in our daily challenges, such comfort, such relief. And so the disciples are so troubled at the thought that Jesus will be leaving. How will they know where to go? How will they know what to say? How will they know what to do? Because they've been following Jesus the whole way. And in verse 16, Jesus tells them, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So this is the first time Jesus informs them of the Holy Spirit, completing the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be in them in the book of Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And every believer has the Holy Spirit living inside them. We have the living God living inside us, like to ask questions, to ask for help. So again, here's the Trinity. We talked about it before talking about home, but God the Son made his home among us. God the Holy Spirit makes his home in us, and we have an eternal home with God the Father in heaven. So in Christ's absence, the Holy Spirit would guide them where to go, what to do, what to say. This same Holy Spirit is available to us, in us, if we've received him. And the very Spirit of God is in us to ask for direction. Should I buy a house? Should I take that medication? Should I retire? Should I work? All these things, the Holy Spirit knows that we need the answers for him. And sometimes he's like, just wait. Just be still. And sometimes he says go. Sometimes he says stop. I mean, how wonderful is this? That when you're standing in the middle of your kitchen on those days where you're done, like, I've got nothing left, Lord, this is it. You're standing there like you can't even see straight. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Or you're crumbled on the floor of your bathroom. He is there with you. And sometimes all you can say it or groan. The Bible says that he hears our groanings, where we're just like, oh, I can't do it. I need help, that he's there. Verse 18, he tells them, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you in a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So that reminder in verse 18 that these disciples who are about to be left are not being left on their own as orphans. He's told them, you've got a home. You're not in an orphanage. You've got a home, and you have a Father, and you have a helper. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You will see me. Look at all the wills starting in verse 16. I will pray the Father. I will not leave you orphans. I will come. You will see me. You will live. You will know I am the Father. You will be loved by my Father. I will love you. These are definitive statements, like promises, promises. These are promises of hope and comfort, and he never goes back on his word. Look at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, also known as Thaddeus, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So as we wait for the promise of a forever home, he makes his home in us with the promise of salvation. Have you guys read the little booklet, My Heart, Christ's Home? It's like this big, it's tiny, by Robert Boyd Munger. You have to get it. It's tiny. You could read it in a night. And it's such a wonderful visual of our heart being Christ's home. And how, I'm a little spoiler alert, the last chapter, is he goes through all the different rooms of the house, like the living room, the bedroom, all that stuff. But the last one's the closet where, you know, you think, I got it all taken care of. But that last closet, and the Lord's like, something's in there. And I can't stay if you're not going to get rid of that, because it's not so good. So you have to read it. I've done it with like high school girls. I've done it with adult women. So it's so great. So great for everybody. So verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And we were talking about the memory this morning when we were praying in the back room, because I had texted Shannon last night and was like, thank you so much for leading, because usually I lead worship in the morning. Thank you so much for leading worship for me. And she texted back. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm so glad you texted me. So we were just talking about memory. Now, you've heard of pregnancy brain, right? Yes, you've heard of pregnancy. Okay, so have you heard that apparently with each pregnancy during the last trimester, you lose 4% of your brain volume? You're supposed to get it back within 6 months of the birth of a child. I haven't seen mine. I have three. might have not returned to me. And it also says any kind of constant contact with a child is enough to trigger the development of mommy brain. So the rest of my life, times three, no, not the rest of my life. They won't be kids forever. But that mommy brain, which leads me to a story that some of you know about my grocery shopping last Wednesday morning at 8:45. I had time to stop by Target for a couple bags of groceries. I get two bags of groceries. I have time before I go to the dentist. I'm like, I'm going to sit down and have a chai over at their little Starbucks right there. So I set my bags up here, like next to my face, like I'm sitting next to my bags like this, you know what's coming. I'm sitting there doing my texts and, you know, checking on emails, answering emails, sipping, enjoying my little alone time. I leave, I pick up my kids at 2 o'clock and I stop at Sprouts at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I pop open my trunk and I'm like, what, where are my Target? Somebody has stolen my Target bags. Who got into my car and stole my two bags of groceries that had paper plates and saran wrap? Like, who is stealing groceries from women's minivans? I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I don't even remember walking out with groceries there at Target. So I call them. I'm like, so I think I left a couple bags of groceries. And they like made me explain what was in them, which thankfully I remembered that. And so I get there and I'm picking them up. I run into a couple from church, Lent, Natalia and James and Natalia Lent and their cute little daughter, Genevieve. So I run into them and I'm explaining the story and Genevieve's like, you lost your groceries. And I'm losing more than my groceries. And so Sunday morning, she saw me, she's all, don't forget your groceries. And Natalia's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. This is my life. So aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance the things that we've read, the things that we've learned of the Lord? Now, my mom always says he can't bring to remembrance the things that you haven't put in there. So you need to be in his word. Warren Wiersbe says, if we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we must make much of the word of God. If we want the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we must make much of the word of God. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the word. The Spirit of truth uses the word of truth to guide us into the will and work of God. So we need to be in his word, and that's why you're here. So verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back for you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And I would love to change that to he ain't got nothing on me. I want to see that in a translation soon. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So how can Jesus say to the disciples and to us, peace I leave with you? He's let them know a friend will betray, a friend will deny, and he will be leaving. How can he say, my peace I leave with you? Because he says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. No feng shui, no $25 60-minute massage, no financial security plan gives you eternal peace. It is only peace with God. Peace, the peace, you receive the peace of God when you have that peace with God. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that comes when we stand in the very midst of trouble and we remember that we are not homeless, we have a forever home. We are not orphans, we have a forever father. And we are not helpless, we have a forever helper. And that's the peace of Jesus, amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your promises. We thank you that they are true. We thank you for your faithfulness through time, that you have never gone back on your word, that you are a faithful Father. And we just want to take a minute right now, Lord, and you know our hearts. You know those of us who feel all alone. You know those of us who feel betrayed. Some of our hearts are breaking over loved ones walking away from you. We're overwhelmed. We need wisdom. We need healing. And some of us don't have the peace of God because we don't have peace with God. we haven't given all to you. And so right now, Lord Jesus, we take those things that are in our minds right now, those things that are in our hearts, and we lay them at your feet. We surrender all to you, whether it is a first time of surrendering our entire lives to you, or it's surrendering a small area of our life, a big area of our life. Lord Jesus, we give it all to you, and we grab hold and we hold tight to these promises that we have a forever home. We are not orphans, that we have a father and that we have a helper. And when those times come this week, when we are, a bomb is dropped on us, Lord, of fear, anxiety, questions of what is going on, sorrow, anger, Lord, please remind us of these three things that you have promised that we have because of you. And so we just, as we go into our groups, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill us to overflowing, that you would speak to us, you would speak through us, and just remind us of your love for us, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.